From the land to Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 8th day of May, 2024. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Greg Johnson. He's at TGM, that's TotalGrainMarketing.com. Nick Sider, Extension Field Crops Entomologist, will join us from here on campus to discuss entomology issues in corn and soybean fields across the state. And then as we close out our time together, we'll take a look at the global growing regions with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And we'll do that right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world, online at willag.org, on demand to listen to anytime you'd like, or search us out in your favorite podcast applications. Look for the Closing Market Report.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, July corn for the day settled at 458.5. That was 8.5 lower. September down 8 cents at 468.5 on this Wednesday. And December at 481.25. The new crop, a loss today, down 7.25 cents a bushel. July soybeans, 18.75 lower at $12.27.75. Next year's November, the new crop at 1213, down 15 cents. And bean meal futures were down $4.70 for the day. The bean oil, 71 cents lower. Wheat futures in the July, 8.75 lower at 643 for the hard red, rather soft red. The hard red was down 15.5 cents. It settled at $6.48.5. Diesel fuel for the day at $2.48, a penny and 4/10 of a cent higher. Crude oil on a barrel, 79 cents higher at $79.17. And the wholesale price of gasoline today at $2.53.7, just about unchanged. Live cattle were down $1.15. Feeders were down $2.25. And lean hogs per 100 pounds, up 40 cents. They finished at $98.72.5 for, again, that 100 weight in Chicago. Greg Johnson now joins us from TGM. That's TotalGrainMarketing.com. Hi, Greg. Thanks for being with us. I was out this morning and took the short drive in town to Champaign from my home in Mahomet, cross country, and I was able to row beans. I didn't actually see corn up anywhere here locally, and only rowed beans in one space. That was at Rising Road there at the Premier Elevator behind you at the TGM. So they're running really slow here because it's just been so dang wet. What are you hearing from the bulk of the draw area, which is fairly large for you?
Yeah, the eastern third of Illinois, which is where our draw territory basically consists of, had got that rain a week ago on Tuesday that the western two-thirds of the state of Illinois did not get. And as a result, last week, they were able to get quite a bit of planting progress made in the western two-thirds, and we had to sit on our hands basically last week. I think we had one day where we were able to get into the field. So things are, you know, the good news is, I guess, we finally missed rain yesterday in places. There was a lot of areas that got anywhere from 3 to 6/10 of an inch of rain across the state. But right here in Champaign, there's a fair amount of areas that got missed. And so, you know, depending on how wet it was earlier, we are seeing some people venture back into the fields today to get some planting done. Then we'll see if we get this rain storm tonight, and then it sounds like they've taken the rain out of the forecast for the weekend. So if we could just, you know, it's like it always is, if we miss the heavy rain, take a day or two to dry out, maybe we can get back in the field again this weekend. But it boils down to next week. Next week is shaping up to be a very important weather forecast. Both models have rain in the forecast 2 or 3 different days. The GFS model seems to be a little bit wetter with close to 2 inches. The European model maybe only an inch and a quarter. So we'll have to see, A, if those materialize and how much we get done ahead of that. But again, that's just Illinois. You know, maybe some of the other states are not going to get those rains and they'll progress even further. But Illinois, especially our drought territory, we need a good dry week next week to get caught up.
I should say that I saw two planters in the field earlier this morning. That would have been in the 8 o'clock hour. Both were running or just about to start to run, and one in transition. That clearly was going to be running. He was traveling in town in Champaign, and you don't do that unless you're going to plant. So given all of that, this recent rally, is there any more left to it before we get to WASDE, or is it done for this time being? And does it depend on what's happened with wheat as well?
I think we've probably done enough for now. I think we've realized that, corn rallied 40 cents just recently. The beans rallied close to a dollar. Farmers are still sitting on a ton of old crop corn. And the good news is a lot of farmers took advantage of this rally and lightened up on some of their old crop inventories, especially corn. And that's exactly what they should have done. And I'm glad to see that. But as a result of that, the market has softened a little bit. Yesterday, old crop July futures were as high as 472. Today, they're down to 459. So just in a matter of a day, we've lost 13 cents in the corn and almost 20 cents in the beans from the highs yesterday. So that's just a good reminder that these markets, when they do give opportunities, they may not last very long. We need to have offers in and be ready to pull the trigger on both old crop and new crop sales.
Running quickly out of time for corn and soybeans old crop, did they make any new crop sales?
Still not a lot. A little bit of corn. We did get December corn futures up to that 490 area, which I think is a very attractive level to sell corn, assuming that we get it planted and have anything close to a normal crop. But, as we've talked before on Commodity Week and other times, you have to have a price range, a price objective in mind. And I know some people are a little bit higher than me, thinking that maybe these corn can get up into the 5.25 range. But to me, $5 seems to be about the upper end of the range. And I still think we could be $4 this fall if everything goes right. So 4 to 5 is the range. And when we hit 490, that's a whole lot closer to the top end of the range than the bottom. And you kind of have to ask yourself, if I'm not selling, what am I waiting for? And I guess the answer would be a drought, a dry weather scare this summer, or continued wet weather for not just this week, but probably for another 10 days or 2 weeks. That might get the market excited as well.
Yeah, the wet weather, speaking of which, for soybean has been playing a role. This is the wet weather in Rio Grande do Sul. That's the southernmost areas of the growing regions in Brazil. They've continued to get rain. How worried do you think the trade has been, and what kind of impact?
I think the rally in beans has been more a result of that than it has been planting delays here in the U.S. I think it's a substantial thing that came out of left field that caught people unaware. There were still 15% of the beans left to be harvested in Brazil, and that's a big chunk of beans. And 15 to 20 inches of rain in a two-week period with more in the forecast, they obviously are going to lose some beans. The question is, how many beans are they going to lose? I've heard anywhere from 1 to 3 million metric tons. So if you kind of take the midpoint, that's 1.5 million metric tons, which is about 55 million bushels. I think the trade has that, kind of factored in now. We've ran the bean price up as a result of that, 55 million bushel drop in Brazil crop, which hopefully will translate into better exports out of the U.S. But if it's more than that, then there may be a little bit more room to run on the upside. But that's I think the Brazilian wet weather has really accounted for this bean rally in the last week and a half.
Friday morning, the United States Department of Agriculture releases its first supply and demand tables for the new crop, or corn and soybean, that are being put in the ground right now. What are the expectations from the trade?
Expectations are that the corn carryout will go from 2.1 billion this year to 2.4 billion next year. And again, we can argue whether demand will pick up next year, whether we're going to get all 90 million acres of corn planted, whether we can use a 181 yield. And I agree, those numbers very well could change over the course of the year, but they probably won't change on Friday. That's where we're going to start. And so it's just going to be a reminder that if we have anything close to a normal crop, corn carryout will increase from 2.1 to maybe it's only 2.2, but it certainly isn't going to get down into the levels where we would talk about rationing demand and having to run the price up. On the soybean side, carry out this year is 340 million. Most of the average, most of the analysts are in that 425 million carry out, maybe 450. But there are some analysts that, worst case scenario, think that we could have a five, that the carry out could be well over 500 million bushels carry out if everything goes well. Now, that, again, to me, that just serves as a reminder that on these rallies, we want to get get new crop beans sold, new crop corn sold. Again, we could be as low as $11 on the futures. We could be as high as $12.50, but we hit $12.30 yesterday. So again, we're closer to the upper end of these ranges, in my opinion, than the lower end of the range. And so I think we just have to have offers in and take advantage of these opportunities, because, you know, people kind of forget, but October, November, December, January, February, we had 5 months where the market did nothing but go lower. So we, you know, we had 2 weeks of upside, but we may go back to, you know, slowly, you know, grinding way unchanged to lower again at some point in time, assuming we get the crop planted and off to a good start.
Well, on that happy note, I'll let you go for the day.
I don't mean to be so negative, but I just try to be realistic and if we can take advantage of these rallies, that's a good thing. So yeah, I'll try to be positive and say, let's take advantage of rallies.
Thank you much, Greg.
All right. Thanks, Todd.
That's Greg Johnson. He is with TTM. That's TotalGrainMarketing.com. University of Illinois Extension field crops entomologist Nick Sider checked in with me earlier in the day to update some issues we'd been following related to alfalfa weevil and other things. I asked him whether the weevil was still a problem for producers with alfalfa fields.
Yeah, alfalfa weevil continues to be kind of the pest of the spring. So it was a problem in southern Illinois early. Now we've had reports as far north as Rockford and Grundy County, Illinois, of fairly serious alfalfa weevil infestations. So that's something right now. If you haven't already, if you've got some alfalfa, go out and take a look. Really, no matter where you are in Illinois, but particularly in the maybe northern half of the state, where they would be the most active right now.
Usually about this time of year, we discuss black cutworm, maybe the true army worm moth flights. What does the season look like so far for those two insect pests?
Yeah, we do get calls about moth flights this time of year, both black cutworm and true army worm. For us in Illinois so far, our black cutworm flights, black cutworm trap catches have been relatively high, where army worm for the most part has been kind of low. I mean, that could change at any time, particularly as storms come in. One thing to look out for over the next few weeks, you will start to see cutting dates occur throughout Illinois as we get into this kind of mid-May time frame. That's when those tend to occur. So be on the lookout for that, especially if you have corn that is up, and especially in situations where maybe you didn't get very good winter annual weed control. Those are the fields where cutworm tends to be the biggest problem.
For those fields that have already been planted and maybe have been in the ground for some time now, is there anything a producer should be watching for?
We haven't received very many reports yet, actually, of injury to seedlings, but the situation we've had here where we had a lot of soybeans in particular, but also corn sitting in the ground for a while as things cooled down, that's a situation that is somewhat favorable to that early season injury and stand loss. So worth taking a look, especially if you have some fields that you planted early that sat around for a while. Those are going to be the fields that are the most vulnerable to injury from things like black cutworm and true army worm, but also grape calaspis, seed corn maggot has been one that from time to time has really popped up on us. Wireworms, if you're in an area where you tend to have problems with wireworm, just something to be on the lookout for, and not something that we've had really a lot of reports on to date in Illinois, and something that's generally pretty sporadic for us in this part of the world. We're pretty fortunate to generally enjoy relatively low pest pressure in both soybean and corn in most of the state, but certainly something to keep an eye on.
That's Nick Sider. He's an Extension field crops entomologist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. If Nick or any of the other crop scientists write an article and post it into the Crop Central website, you'll find that it'll pop up automatically at willag.org, along with the Farm Doc Daily articles that are written by the Ag Economist and anything that might be written by the animal scientist as well. They're all at willag.org, WILLAG.ORG. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Let's check in on the growing regions across the planet with Drew Lerner now. He's at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. I think we have a lot of ground to cover today, Drew. Farmers in the Midwest would like to cover a lot of ground as well. They've been stymied by rainfall, though up until this point, they've done a pretty good job of getting the crop in. They're stalled. Are they going to stay that way?
Yeah, you know, the next 10 days look to be pretty ugly. I don't think it's going to rain every day everywhere, don't get me wrong, but I don't see enough of a window between rain events that we can really dry down anybody in a significant manner. We will see some warmer weather, but it comes after this period, so I don't think it looks real good. We'll get a little bit of work done a little bit at a time, but for where we are in the month of May, this is not going to be very appealing. Hopefully, when we get into the last 10 days of the month, we're going to have a ridge of high pressure starting to build up. And hopefully that'll generate certainly warmer temperatures and slow down some of the rhythm in all this rain. I think that's what we're going to have to be focused on. So we're going to go through mid-month with this wet bias in place. But shortly after that, maybe we'll get a little better window.
Does it matter where in the Corn Belt you are?
It doesn't to a large degree. Now, I will tell you this. Some guys in Indiana were complaining just a couple of days ago that it was getting a little too dry, and they thought drought was developing because it just wasn't raining very good. So there's some places to the east that are certainly getting into the fields and doing a really good job in advancing. But they will be shut down in this coming 10-day period like everybody else. The rain frequency will be up there. And, of course, the focus of all the wet weather recently has been more in the western Corn Belt. And we already saturated the soil in the west late last week. And we're not improving that any, even though the volume of rain here most recently is starting to ease up a little bit. The frequency of precipitation will continue high enough to make it still difficult to get aggressive in a lot of these fields.
Yeah, so that'll put us out to that May 20 timeframe when we know that corn after that, mostly kind of considered late planting. Soybeans still okay through portions of June, depending on where you are in the Corn Belt. Let's move further to the north. In Canada, I like to check in on the growing regions there with you as well.
Yes, Canada has been in a multi-year drought, especially in Alberta and parts of western and southern Saskatchewan. And in the latter part of April, we got a decent precipitation rain and snow event that took place and started to improve the moisture profile, especially in Saskatchewan. This past week, I believe it was Monday into actually this morning, we saw substantial rains finally reach into Alberta and again in western parts of Saskatchewan. And when we did a soil assessment this morning, we saw that the topsoil, for the first time in I don't know how many months or actually years probably, that the ground is now adequately moist at the topsoil. We still have a drought out there down deep, but this is the best planting moisture I have seen in Canada for a very long time. And I know there's a lot of folks in Alberta and western Saskatchewan that just have to be dancing out there waiting for the sun to come back out so they can start getting into the fields, and they will. They're going to be aggressive with it. The only thing that I'm a little concerned with is that it looks like late this coming weekend and next week, we've got two more storm systems coming into that region, that might start to depress a few of these guys because they're going to want to get into the fields and they may get frustrated like those in the Midwest.
Move over to Europe, your Asia. We've been talking about wheat there, particularly in Russia, part of their growing regions, and the dry conditions. Are there any? Is there anything else that we need to be concerned about? And has the dry can have the dry conditions abated yet?
Yeah, the dryness from East Ukraine through Russia's southern region into western Kazakhstan has budged none since we talked last week, and really since, I don't know, probably the 1st of March, they haven't had much moisture there. The soil assessment is certainly showing them running short to slightly, well, we'll say short to very short, I suppose. In both the top and the subsoil, it is not quite critically low at the moment. We are in the midst of a cool weather pattern over there, and that's helping to conserve the moisture a little bit. But boy, if it doesn't rain these next 10 days to 2 weeks and we get into late May when we think it's going to turn warmer again, I think that that's when it's going to hit the fan and we're going to see a lot of stress and worry over the production potential rise at that point. Now, I mentioned the cool weather that's there right now. We had some freezes on Monday morning in a big part of Russia and some of the northern parts of Ukraine. And it wasn't that big a deal, except for we had been really quite warm in that region for a while. And so it burned back some crop development. Now, a reinforcing shot of cold air is coming in for Friday. Night before, or night after next. And we are expecting to see hard freezes down through a big part of Ukraine and a big part of Russia's southern region. The only areas that won't see a freeze will be in the far south near the Black Sea itself. And we are not so terribly concerned about the wheat, barley, or rye over there. I don't think those crops are quite advanced enough to really be seriously hurt. But there's some rapeseed that has been developing for a few weeks now, and there's concern that that crop may see temperatures colder than about 27, and that's usually the threshold for damaging that crop after you've been a few weeks without freezes. So that's what we think is going to happen. We're going to see some mid-20 degree lows on Friday morning in some of the winter rapeseed areas of Russia and a few areas in Ukraine, and that may just kill the crop or at least seriously injure it. And so we're going to be watching that pretty closely. One of the problems is, of course, we don't have good data as to exactly what stage the crop is in and all that. But just looking at the last hard freeze that occurred in those areas, it's been a few weeks, and we did have some afternoon temperatures getting into the upper 70s into the lower 80s for a while there. So I'm pretty sure that this crop is going to be vulnerable to the cold.
I know you told me that you were concerned about cold weather in portions of South America, Argentina, I think. Did that happen last week?
Yes. We saw freezes occur in the southern one-third of Argentina. It did get some of the double crop soybeans there. I don't think there's been an accurate assessment of what the impact was, but temperatures there got down to 27 degrees Fahrenheit also. 27 to 32 was the general range of temperatures. And again, that was the southern one-third of Buenos Aires and probably the southern two-thirds of La Pampa. So we think there was some damage there done, more so for soybeans than anything else. It's not a huge double crop bean production area. The more important double crop bean area is a little farther to the north. Well, there is another shot of cold coming up for Monday, and this new cold surge is likely to push freezes farther to the north as well. So we're a little bit concerned. You know, some of that crop should be getting pretty close to maturity, so I don't want to make this, you know, too dramatic. I don't think we're going to lose huge amounts of crop, but I don't know that we'll lose anything except for quality. Certainly blackened beans is likely to be the case in southern Buenos Aires from this week's freezes, and we'll probably see something similar to that with the freezes coming up on Monday. But we do expect some frost and freezes all the way up into southern Cordoba this time and southern Santa Fe, as well as northern Buenos Aires. So that will be cold enough to at least raise some concerns, we'll put it that way.
And finally, the soybean crop in Rio Grande do Sul, we're well aware of the flooding waters there. Are they still getting rainfall? And is this a quality issue or a loss issue or both?
Yeah, I'll answer the last first. Yeah, I think it's both. You know, the most important part of the production region in Rio Grande do Sul is in the north. And the north has not been subjected to these 15 to 25 inch rains that occurred in central areas. There are beans that are produced in central parts of Rio Grande, don't get me wrong. But the more concentrated field production area is a little farther to the north and northwest of where the worst of the flooding took place. Without a question, though, the crop was pretty much mature and being harvested before all this came along. And there's a lot of beans out there that are certainly vulnerable to sprouting and, you know, losses from that perspective. There will be some quality issues, too. The key here is, you know, are we done with the rain? And, you know, it did quit raining here day before yesterday. And they're going to continue dry for one more day. But we're going to see one more wave of rain. And that is going to begin late Thursday night and more likely on Friday and go through Monday. And another 2 to 6 inches of rain will fall across most of Rio Grande and neighboring areas of Santa Catarina. That's going to stretch what has already been 10 days to 2 weeks into, you know, 2.5 weeks of wet weather. And I don't know how any soybean that is mature, waiting to be harvested, can manage that much wet weather without, you know, being seriously impacted by that. And so I'm afraid there's a lot of sprouting that's occurring.
Hey, thank you much.
Have a great day.
You too. That's Drew Lerner. He's with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joined us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world, online at willag.org, willag.org. Just click and play. Listen on demand right from the website or hit that podcast tab and you can subscribe to the Closing Market Report right there from the website, willag.org, podcast tab, and then hit your favorite podcast application. The theme music for the Closing Market Report is written, performed, and produced by Logan County, Illinois farmer Tim Gleason. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.